This is Stephanie Shea, the voice for Usagi Tsukino, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds Podcast.
Yeah, I was still with my pediatrician until I was about 24, and then they're like, dude, you have to go.
No, but like technically, they're not, I remember when I was like 21, I actually went there.
And I was going until I was 24.
That's what I'm saying. No, but then they were like, technically, they don't have to, like, we could still go until the insurance kicks out or something like that.
No, they told me I had to leave.
Really?
Yeah, and not only that, I would go in there and I'd sit in the waiting room and people would be like, which one's yours? And I'd be I don't have any of these kids.
No, dude, I know.
You're listening to episode 92 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast, the week of August 23, 2021, the weekly podcast that covers the last week's important gaming and nerd culture news, hosted by Gags and former full-time host, T.A. T.A., how you been? What have you been up to since you were gone?
All right, buddy. Here we go. We got some major things happening.
Okay.
Your boy is single once again. Major.
Oh,
life.
You're breaking this?
I might as well. It's all right. It's okay. I mean, it is what it is. Your boy's still alive. That's really all that matters.
You're just thirst trapping everyone through the podcast.
Oh, I see someone in the background there.
She was like, are you doing it online or are you in person? It's COVID. We're safe.
I've been in a weird video game and like anime funk and stuff. I haven't caught up with any like good shows or movies in a while, but recently I was like, you know what? I'm gonna work my way back through JoJo's Bizarre Adventure just because I kept seeing like some funny ass memes about the show.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna keep going. So I finished the Stardust Crusaders arc, which was like the third season where like they bring in like Joseph's grandson, Jotaro, and like now he's just like, this is like where like the main thing of the show got developed, like the stands, that's the powers they use.
Do you know Guido Mista?
Guido Mista?
Yeah, from JoJo?
No, I don't think so.
Do you know who this guy is?
No, he's probably a couple arcs ahead of me.
Oh, that's Sean Chiplock. He does the intro for us now.
No way, really?
Yeah.
When it's like right now they just added, like Netflix only added the fourth season, so it's Jotaro's uncle who's like 17.
The whole family makes no sense. They're all 17, ripped out of their mind.
No, I know. Well, here's the thing. This is where the animation gets.
They're bigger than John Cena.
But like this is the animation style is completely different in a way where like and like everyone's toned down. Like Jotaro was this humongous jacked high school student, and now he's like a. He's a smaller, slimmer, like kind of ripped, like 27-year-old guy. It's honestly crazy, but
none of it makes sense.
But like, it's honestly decent enough for me to keep going. So that's good enough for me. And I'm playing Xenoblade Chronicles 1, thanks to you, Definitive Edition.
What do you think? Xenoblade Chronicles 1 or Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is better? I know you only beat one technically, and you're still playing through the other.
So here's the thing: like, I think both stories are good. But if I had to pick a generalized story, I maybe would go with more one just because it's like a concrete like science fiction like.
Oh, crazy. Dude, it gets crazier and crazier as the shit goes on.
I know the plot, which is why I'm excited to keep going. But because I was seeing people online talk about how they don't like two, and their only real criticism about it is because it's very tropey anime.
Well, there's that game. Boyfriend Dungeon that just came out where everyone's excited because you go out and you date your weapon. It's like, I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2 years, so this is nothing new to me.
You know, it's Wifeably Chronicles 2. You know, that's what...
Exactly.
So, like, I understand why people don't like it because of that. So that's why I might give the story the edge to one. Like, on the grand scope, for me, it's always going to be two. But the battle systems, one has a very good one. And two completely polished it.
That's my biggest criticism of one.
You were
because I went backwards.
Yeah, I know. Me too. And I've noticed that one feels good to play. I don't feel
10 years old when you're playing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't feel like I'm playing an aged game.
Yep.
But two, once you finally unlock, like you said too, because I remember I was struggling in the beginning of two because I was like, I didn't understand all the, because like, they threw a lot of combat shit at you, but once I finally got it all, it was, you know what I mean? Like, I was in control and everything was great.
I hated two. Like, I absolutely hated two, like 20 hours into the game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, as soon as you hit chapter four, all of a sudden you're like, oh god,
it's now, like now calculus it's three. Something just clicked for me, and I finally just got it. And then I was like, all right, this all makes sense again. Like, this is a good game. But before that, this sucks. There's like bubbles flying around. People are yelling at me. It's telling me to hit ZR for no reason.
Manda! Pyra! The only thing about two, I will, like, actually, about both of them, but two especially, is that grinding just takes forever.
Ever.
Well, it, like, as soon as you, like, you have to fight enemies that are, like, way higher level than you to get decent experience, but it's, like, they whip the fucking shit out of you.
Yeah, you'll get your ass beat. It's really a humbling game. Like, it really humbles you over and over again.
Oh, my God.
I told your brother this. This is the true story. Xenoblade Chronicles 1 ripped me to the ground so many times. It was like 1 a.m. I had work the next morning. I was on the final boss. I had already died three times. I was like, I just want this over with. I changed the difficulty to very easy. It's just a walking simulator at that time. Finally beat him and then watched the ending and then switched it back to normal before it saved. So it didn't give me the little dinky, like, you're on very easy mode icon next to my save file. So in my heart, I did it the right way.
Were you max level?
In Xenoblade Chronicles 1, no.
Oh, what level were you at? Like 70 or?
When I beat the game, no, I think I was like 60 something.
Oh, shit. Well, I mean, like, I couldn't beat Xenoblade Chronicles 2 until I was level like 75. So, I mean.
That's wild to me because I beat that at 63 with no problem.
Really? Like, the Malos is like, or like the final, like the, you know, like the final mech form is level 70, is like level 72.
To all you have to do is he has like that one hit that will auto kill you. You have to use your element burst at that moment. Well, and it cancels it for him.
Well, see, I think I figured that out the second or third time after I die, but I tried fighting at level like.
Oh, I died a couple times though. Straight up, I died.
I got smacked, and I was like, you know what? I'm grinding. I'm not going back to like murder this guy.
No, because I killed him, and then I just fought him like a million times in a row to level.
No, I know. I watched a video like on good enemies to grind, like when you're in the final like stages of getting to the max level, and they're like, just fight the final boss till you level like 75, and then eventually, then you can take on like Territorial Robart.
Oh, the extra bosses in that game,
Movable Gonzalez,
are impossible. Absolutely impossible. I had to look up guides on how to beat them. And their names are ridiculous. I finally beat goddamn Skyward Sword. I'm so glad to be done with it. A lot of people try to act like it's a hidden like gem, that it's like the...
It's not.
It's really not. It is a good Zelda game, but it's a good Zelda game at best. A lot of people try to act like it would have been way better without the motion controls. It would have been a lot better without the motion controls.
Yeah, for sure.
They suck. I don't know. Do you know how you fight in the Switch version?
No.
You have to flick the right analog stick. And whatever way you flick the stick is the way Link slashes the sword.
Okay.
Now, to move the camera, you have to hold L1 and then move the right analog stick.
So trying to switch camera and swing your sword at the same time is not fun.
But... of course, since you've never had to hold L1 to move a camera before, you just end up fucking slashing your sword for a couple seconds like an asshole every time you're trying to change the camera. And now I'm playing games where I'm holding L1 to move the camera that you don't need to do that for.
Nah, dude, it's perfect. It makes total sense, you know?
And then everyone's like, this is one of the best Zeldas because Zelda isn't a useless damsel in distress. All she does is put herself in a crystal, and then you have to get her out of the crystal, and that's the game.
Yeah, I mean,
she was a damsel in distress.
If we're really talking about best Zeldas, I mean, obviously you got to throw Ocarina of Time, you know, Sheik in there because Sheik actually helps you along the way.
Yep.
Tetra, because she helps you along. Well, she screws you over, but she helps you along the way.
She's a piece of shit. She's a piece of shit. We can say it. And we don't have to be PC.
Breath of the Wild, because she actually is keeping, like, you know, she...
Breath of the Wild Zelda and this Zelda, though, are so similar in the fact that, you know how Zelda in that one put herself in that light cocoon to hold Ganon back? She literally does the same thing in this one.
Yeah.
So it's almost the same person.
That was the first time she did it. beginning of one's the timeline.
One's a copycat, one's not. All right, let's take a short... Actually, I wanted to ask you, did you know that Evo happened? You know, no. The fighting tournament?
No.
Right? Like, there was no one talking about it? No, dude, nothing?
I didn't know. Like, I've been on Twitter a lot now lately, and I have not seen a single person talk about it.
Isn't that kind of sad?
Yeah, it really is.
I don't know if that is because Sony bought them, or if it's because it was online and no one gave a shit.
I mean, it could be a good hybrid of the two.
I hope to God it has nothing to do with Sony buying Evo, and that's just, you know, the way Evo's going to go is down the drain.
Well, dude, COVID really just put an end to everything that we loved.
So they had 5 games at Evo this year. They had Street Fighter V, Mortal Kombat 11, Tekken 7, Guilty Gear, and Skullgirls Encore. Now, a lot of people are saying they didn't have Smash Bros. There because Sony bought them. But I think the only reason Sony didn't have Smash Bros. Is because Smash Bros. Online is trash.
Yeah.
Because all of these, like, they're not just the PlayStation version. There's the PC version and everything else.
Yeah, so they could have got it if they wanted to. They just...
Yeah, I think it just was, yo, their online is trash, so let's not bother.
That's the only reason why you lose, right? That's the only reason why your KD isn't up?
Thank you. No, it's lag. It's a lot of lag switchers. You know, you unplug your router at the last second, you plug it back in.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people have higher pings. It's just ridiculous.
They name the cheap characters. It's all bullshit.
Yeah. No, especially online. Like, supposedly the tier list is completely different because of the lag. I don't get it. It's just cheating. It's just blatant cheesing. All right. We're going to take a short break and be back with the news. All right, and we're back with the news. Quick news of the week. Anthony Mackie has closed his deal with Disney to star in Captain America 4. I think that was so goddamn obvious, but it's official now. Adventure Time, Fiona and Cake series coming to HBO Max. Sea of Thieves had its most active month in June with 4.8 million players thanks to a Pirate's Life expansion. Black Canary movie in development at HBO Max with June Rhee Sumlet to star. Cyberpunk 2077 receives update 1.3 of the first additional content being added to the game for free. That DLC is just cosmetics. And then the original version of Quake is now available on PC, Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch, complete with up to 4K support, widescreen resolutions, enhanced models, dynamic lighting, anti-aliasing, depth of field, and lots more visual enhancements.
Wow.
How old is Quake? Quake is like... It was just a Doom mod to begin.
Yeah, so that shit was what, like 1990-something?
Ooh, I was... 1996, you were damn close.
Fuck!
Well, it's crazy. It starts off as like a mod and then became its own... I guess that's a lot of things now.
Well, I mean,
PUBG was just a mod.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean...
What were you saying? You didn't finish your sentence.
That's exactly... You took it right out of my mouth. That was exactly where I was going.
Let's see. So... First news story of the week, we have everything announced at Pokemon Presents. This is by Michael McRorder on Polygon.com. The Pokemon Company debuted a new Pokemon Presents presentation on Wednesday, revealing the latest news on upcoming Nintendo Switch games Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, Pokemon Legends Arceus. But that's not all. Pokemon fans also got updates on free-to-play MOBA Pokemon Unite, 5-year-old mobile game Pokemon Go, Pokemon Masters EX. I always see Pokemon Masters EX and get so close to jumping in.
Why don't you do it?
It's just too much time, and I already played too many other games. And puzzle game Pokemon Cafe Mix, here's the big news from the latest Pokemon Presents. Pokemon Unite heads to mobile in September, already available on Nintendo Switch. Pokemon Unite is headed to mobile devices, Android and iOS, on September 22nd. The mobile version will have crossplay with the Switch version. Two more playable Pokemon are coming to Pokemon Unite as well, Mamoswine and Sylveon. Blissey, which is Blissey/Chansey, I guess, technically,
yep,
have just been added to the game prior to the presents as well, which is so weird because Blastoise isn't in it yet.
What?
Blastoise is in the tutorial, and he was in the demo, but he's not in the game yet.
Really?
I will say Venusaur right now is way better than Charizard. Way better. This is like the only game I've ever thought
this. It's about time my fucking boy gets the respect he deserves.
His solar beam is just a sniper that gets everyone on screen.
You know, you charge him up and you knock him down.
Pokemon Cafe Mix is getting remixed. The touch-based puzzle game for Nintendo Switch and mobile is getting revamped and renamed to Pokemon Cafe Remix. The game will get a new puzzle elements, additional Pokemon, new dress-up options. I played this game for all of 25 minutes, and I felt like I got everything I needed from it.
Yeah.
I'm so shocked it's still getting any type of support, but that means someone must be playing it. So we got more information on Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. I didn't think they could show me anything else to get me excited for this, but then they showed me a bunch of things that got me excited for it. We have the Nintendo Switch remakes of Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. Will be updated and faithful to the originals. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl will feature the originals minigames like Pokemon Super Contest, the Underground with the Dowsing Machine minigame, and your secret base.
Oh, dude, the secret fucking base. That shit was so tight.
I really feel like the DS versions, like, these are like kind of the final generation for me before they started to feel like they sucked. I know a lot of people like Black and White, but I feel like this is like the cutoff for me.
Well, like when we got Black and White 2, right? When you and me and Dill went and we got it.
Yep.
Like, that was when we were getting back into it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so that was definitely a challenging enough game to where like it was fun.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. Diamond and Pearl is like where like, but like the Dowsing Machine game is what made the secret bases and all that shit fun as fuck.
Well, that's, and yeah, they added other things to do than like other ways to play with your friends in this game other than just, you know, battle like, and trade.
Because like the secret bases were in the original Ruby, Emerald, Sapphire, and there was literally no point to have them.
No, I don't remember it. We didn't have friends, so.
Well, like, that's when they introduced the TM's hidden power and secret power, and that was how you got your base.
Yep.
And then you, I forgot what the other one does, but like it had like an in-game mechanic for it, but like it really didn't amount to much because like it's like, okay, cool, I created a secret base in a tree. Some random tree on Route fucking 10. Like, okay, great.
I could never figure out how to get the furniture to throw into it.
You had to buy it, and then, like, then you actually, like, then there was, a, like, a little computer or whatever in your base, and then...
That I knew. I could never figure out how to get the furniture.
It was in like, you know how, like, every region there has, like, the one big superstore?
Yeah.
It's in there.
The giant mini market or mall or whatever?
Yeah. Like whatever that generation's version of Celadon City was, that's what you need. That's where you could get it. I'm still excited for this.
Launching alongside Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl is a new Nintendo Switch Lite console featuring Dialga and Palkia. So it's all black, which is it'll be the first all black console Switch Lite.
Yep.
And then on the back is basically an etched gold Dialga and a silver Palkia. I don't know if I got the colors mixed up, but it's one's gold, one's silver.
Either way.
This one looks way better than the Sword and Shield Switch Lite they did, which was a lighter gray than the one that's out now, and it had like the red buttons on one side and the blue buttons on the other.
Yeah,
and then it featured the two legendaries. This one's just like a lot less quiet, and the all black looks so good. It's just kind of obvious that every Pokemon game will be launching alongside a special edition Switch Lite.
I mean, of course.
Let's see some of the gameplay features. Grand Underground has been overhauled. Hideaways, design your room, etc. Customize your Pokeballs. Customize your trainer. I always love this. I hate when they get rid of the customize your trainer.
Yeah.
Especially for like some of the remakes, you end up just playing as like, you know, whoever the main characters that names actually are. You know, obviously you rename them to be your name. But
yeah.
They do have actual names.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, to be honest, lately, like pretty much... I'm pretty sure from the black 2 era on, or the white 2, I had white 2. I'd just been naming them whatever their default name was.
Yeah, and their names are always ridiculous. Although, I think Emerald was Brandon and May.
Yeah.
Super Contest shows, it's a rhythm game. Union rooms now have online and local. And whoever is the first Pokemon in your party will be following your trainer, which I love. They had that in Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, that's going to be dope as shit.
Also, I like the way this looks way better than actually Sword and Shield because they went back to the top-down view.
Yeah.
And made it look like a pretty Game Boy Advance game instead of it's a game that's in 3D.
Yeah. I honestly never played Sword and Shield.
It's actually good. It's Sun and Moon, really, I hated, which apparently I'm like the only person in the world.
Dude, I never even opened it out of the case.
You have it though, no?
I have Sun, and it's still in the plastic wrap.
You're a piece of shit. I would tell you to keep it in the plastic wrap.
You say, like, did I miss out? I don't know.
Did you play X and Y?
I never finished X and Y. I got to the sixth gym and I got so fucking bored.
I think X and Y has the worst story.
Fennekin is over fucking powered, and I literally destroyed everything in my pack without needing to use a single other Pokemon.
I also don't know if it's because it's a children's game and we just demolish the children's game. Because, like, really, when you think about it, it takes about 10 hours tops to beat any Pokemon game now.
No, absolutely. No, like, you're right. But, like, usually at least I have to, you know, usually you kind of have to keep your party well-rounded so you can take out other gyms that, like, you shouldn't be able to beat with just, like, you know what I mean? Like, without type matching?
Yeah, no, it hasn't been since Gold and Silver's Miltank. That Miltank and Gold and Silver?
Yes.
I've never had a problem since. And that's like, what, second generation?
Yeah.
We're on generation 8
but
now.
I just mean like without having to get to, like, you know, like I could play Leaf Green or Fire Red, and like I could beat Brock with Charmander because I know I get Steel Kick at level 14 or level 12, whatever he gets it. So, like, you know what I mean? Like,
grinding, yeah, Iron Claw, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah. So grinding isn't that bad. But in the game that I technically don't know anything about, like when we bought it new, there's literally no reason why I should be able to demolish it with just one Pokemon.
Well, I don't like that they put EXP share on everyone now too.
I know that is, like, that defeats the whole point.
It makes it way too easy.
That's what I'm saying too. Like, I never Fennekin literally demolished every enemy in my way. Fire Psychic is honestly one of the most OP combos I've ever seen in my life.
Let's see, and then. So we got more information on Pokemon Legends Arceus. A lot of people were claiming this game was going to be delayed. I did not think it was going to be delayed because not only did they announce it, I believe, either late last year or early this year, they gave us a release date at the end of May. So it was like they didn't need to give us that release date unless they were very sure they were going to hit that release date. So it's released in January 2022. Let's see. Game Freak showed off how Pokemon battles will work in Pokemon Legends Arceus, a definite variation of the battles we're all familiar with. When battles begin, players will have a few different style options for battling in turn-based fashion, strong or agile styles, which change statistics on specific moves depending on situations. Likewise, some Pokemon may be able to take a few turns in a row. Based on their statistics, the turn-based mechanics definitely look familiar, but changes look intriguing. Four new Pokemon evolutions and variations are coming to the game's new Hisui region. Weirdeer, Hisuian Growlithe, Hisuian Bravery, and Basculesion, a terrifying new evolution of Basculin.
Fuck?
Basculin is that, like, he's like the Barracuda fish?
Oh, let me just...
Yeah, use the Google machine. So the weird thing in this
okay. See, I barely remember him too because he's from Gen 5,
which is Black and White.
Yeah, so like I didn't really catch that many aquatic Pokemon. I pretty much can always remember Gens 1 through 4, and 5 is kind of hit or miss, and then 6 I know I couldn't tell you shit.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. 1 through 4 I'm good. Up after I could tell you the type. I can't promise you I'll have the name right.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a weird battle mechanic where to start a Pokemon battle, because the Pokemon run free, it doesn't just like stop the game, load a new screen. You have to throw a Pokeball near them, and once your Pokemon pops out, it'll give you the battle menu.
Okay.
It also lists down like who goes, because like if your Pokemon's fast enough, he might have like 3 turns in a row.
Yeah. That's going to be like, that's okay. So like they've got like a cool,
and it's a free roam. So you can walk around as the battle's happening.
They have a cool, like weird combination of like typical JRPG combat mixed with action combat. The only problem that could arise
is like Xenoblade Chronicles and Pokemon combined.
Yeah. You're right. The only problem is if you have Pokemon that are more stocky that have slow agility, you're getting fucked every time.
Well, then I think you would choose your Pokemon accordingly. Or he's a tank and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it, okay. Well, no, you're right. But like in the beginning hours of the game, if we're not doing too good and we know we don't have enough potions to keep healing this fuck because he's too goddamn slow, it's going to be getting annoying real fast.
The other thing is they've included in this game dodges for your trainer because your trainer can take damage.
They will
attack your trainer. Like if you're trying to walk by a vicious Pokemon and you don't want to battle it, it's going to attack you.
Dude, imagine going on your Pokemon journey, it's getting fucking faded by a Pokemon, a wild Pokemon.
Because if you take too much damage, you will faint and you'll wake up back at your base. So if you're traveling to a farm,
that's not how real life works. If I'm getting knocked out by a Pokemon, he's eating me. I'm going to be bones on the walkway.
Do you think Pokemon eat people? I would think so, right? It's just meat to them.
They're literal tigers and fucking lions. And there's a vulture. There's a vulture Pokemon. I can't remember what his name is, but he's
Bravery.
Is that Bravery?
That's like an eagle or something. But I know what you're talking about.
No, there is 100% a vult.
I mean, there's like a pterodactyl. There's
Mandibuzz. Mandibuzz. That's the one. Fucking yeah. No, I mean, no, dude. We're food to them. They just don't show it. They don't show it. Rock Pokemon food is human beings.
I'll be so honest with you. The more I saw of Arceus, the less I was like interested in it. I think it looks bad, like visually.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where it's like I still can't believe they're not making a Nintendo Switch Pro at this point.
Like, is it gonna happen?
I would have put my savings account that it was happening this year, and instead they released the Nintendo Switch OLED, so I would have lost all my money, but that's why I don't bet, right?
See, this is why we let your girlfriend in charge of the finances, okay?
Yeah, big time, except, like, you know, I don't include her on every decision.
You have to think about all these games at a discounted price.
It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, okay? I'm after this, I'm way more excited for the remakes than actual Legends Arceus. We have two or three trailers of Legends of Arceus, and we have yet to see Arceus still.
Yeah, I mean that's always a good indicator of what's to come, you know what I mean? So,
well, everyone's trying to say it's Breath of the Wild Pokemon. I have a feeling this is like a 20-hour game. 20-hour game, and then we don't even know how many Pokemon are in it.
Dude, 20-hour games, me as a dad, that's right up my alley.
Oh, no, I agree. I love but the problem is people are going to hold it to that Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild standard.
Oh, I know.
And it's never going to hit that.
Dude, people are just going to bitch about every single thing on the internet. Every single thing. Gatekeeping's wrong. Shitting on gatekeepers is wrong. I don't even know what to do anymore.
I keep my opinions to myself.
I just retweet things. I don't even tweet anything.
I don't put any original content so no one can get originally mad at me.
I share both sides, so I always come out on top.
Let's see. Next news story is Call of Duty Vanguard has officially been announced. This launches worldwide November 5th, 2021. I didn't grab an article because it's goddamn Call of Duty. I think we all know what Call of Duty is. The little blurb they put out is, witness the origins of special forces as you play a pivotal role and change the face of history. Form in Task Force 1 in a gripping campaign across four major theaters of war. There's more too, complete in 20 multiplayer maps at launch. Dive into the first ever crossover zombie experience and prepare for full Warzone integration, including a new massive map. So people have wanted a new map for Warzone forever, so that's a big deal. It's going back to World War II.
The only thing I know about Vanguard so far is that you were like, "Yo, Dill, please tell me you caught up on Vanguard." He's like, "That's a new story this week," and he was like, "I don't even know what that is yet, bro."
Yeah, that was last week. But that, to be fair, that was leaks, and you know he only gets Facebook.
Boy should be on Twitter by now, okay?
No, it's funny with the whole Activision Blizzard lawsuit going on right now. Yeah. You know, everyone's kind of like, fuck them. We don't want to support them. Now, I have this list from Matt Piscatella. He does like video game sales for a living and all other kind of coverage. So here are U.S. best-selling video games by year per dollar sales. So ready? 2009, yep. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Yep.
2010, Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yep.
2011, Call of Duty.
2010?
Yep.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you're old, dude.
Wait, when was World at War?
Hold on, I'm going through. Let me get through my list, you son of a bitch.
Okay, sorry.
2011, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. 2012, what? Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
What the fuck is going on?
2013, finally some variety, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Well, the game that literally keeps on giving.
14, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
What the fuck? I don't remember. Why is my whole timeline fucked up?
2015, Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
Oh my god.
2016, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. 2017, Call of Duty World War II. This is the last one I bought, is World War II. 2018, Red Dead Redemption 2. Rockstar. Yeah. 2019, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. And then 2020, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. So if you're wondering what game is going to sell the best this year,
it is Call of Duty Vanguard, baby.
It's just, it doesn't matter how big this strike is going to. I know a ton of content creators are like, we're not streaming this. As soon as this fucking game comes out, they'll be back so fast. So fast. That strike will be over.
Yep.
Maybe they'll just like, when they start their stream, be like, hey, Activision Blizzard sucks. Now let's go play their game for 18 hours straight.
Yep. Without a doubt.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because obviously there's, you know, hundreds of people who worked on this game.
No, of course.
And not every single one of them was a shitbag.
Yeah.
But I just think it's funny that we're all going to pretend like we're going to have this amazing strike and we're not going to stop this game from being the giant juggernaut that it is.
Oh, no, of course. I mean, they're going to get their money regardless. They're going to... We can shit on them. Dude, I mean, if you...
Shitting on them all the time just gives them more... Note it. Like, people see it more now.
Yeah.
It's just free publicity.
Dude, people shit on Chick-fil-A, and everyone I know goes to Chick-fil-A. People shit on Apple for all the scummy things they do, and we all rock iPhones.
I won't do anything but an iPhone, all right? I won't. Literally, I don't care.
There is
I don't
nothing
care good. If I have to sell my goddamn soul. I'm not getting rid of this iPhone. Dude,
there is nothing good about Walmart, and yet there's so many fucking people that shop at Walmart. So it does not matter how notorious people are. They're going to get their money.
It's because, like, even with, like, Chick-fil-A, right? And everyone always talks about their homophobia.
Yeah.
It's, for some reason, does not matter. I have still never gone to a Chick-fil-A in, like, 6 years.
Yeah.
And I see people who need it, like, once a week.
I see people who need it more than once a week.
They're goddamn waffle fries. All right, next news story. Fortnite Imposter sounds a lot like Among Us. This is by Ishraq Suban on Eurogamer.net. Epic has added a new game mode into Fortnite that has an uncanny resemblance to Among Us. Fortnite Imposter sees 10 players, 8 agents, and 2 imposters play out their roles on a submarine. Like in Among Us, the agents carry out routine assignments while the imposters sabotage the facility and eliminate players. Imposters can also teleport players to cover their tracks and disable assignments. Of course, it wouldn't be Fortnite with a few memes. For a short period, a Peely party takes place where all agents and imposters look like Peely, an iconic character of judicial significance. And just like Among Us, agents can call for a discussion at any time by finding and reporting an eliminated agent or interacting with the discussion panel. During discussions, agents and imposters can share information with each other via emotes and brand new quick chat menu, asking contextual questions about who was doing what and accusing suspicious candidates for ejection. At the end of each discussion, agents and imposters vote to either eject someone or skip their vote. This isn't the first time Epic has quite obviously taken ideas from other genres and added it into Fortnite. When Epic first added Battle Royale into the game, PUBG Corporation accused Epic of lifting ideas straight from PUBG. I just think this is wild that they didn't even try to hide the fact that they blatantly robbed this game's game. They named it Imposters.
But to be fair, I haven't even thought of Among Us in like 2 years. I honestly almost forgot the name of that game, probably for a solid like 5 months now.
Really? It's still huge. It's still massive.
Is it? But like, is it though?
Yes. No, absolutely, dude. It's like a whole cultural phenomenon right now. Still,
I don't even see people even make memes about it anymore.
Really? No, I still see the memes. I mean, just seeing that little like bean dude, right? You still know what the fuck that is.
No, but I'm saying I haven't seen shit about that game in like 2 years.
I think it's been more of like a year. It didn't really get popular till last year.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's been a while.
I I think the thing is, it's still massive around smaller children.
Well, fair.
And I think that's why, like, Fortnite is still massive around smaller children as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I play it.
Fortnite's going to do whatever it takes to stay relevant.
Yeah. It's got to do million-dollar things to keep making millions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
I just think, like, I don't know, maybe change the name. Come up with your own terminology. Like, there was no way you couldn't have thought, like, maybe naming this imposters is bad taste.
Maybe they thought, you know, if we just copy them exactly word for word, they won't have the balls to call it plagiarism.
Well, no, the developers are because the company that makes Among Us, Innersloth, is like a team of like 9 people.
Oh my God.
So they were like, it would have been cool if we would just did like, this is such a blatant, obvious ripoff that when I first saw the trailer for it, because they made a trailer for this and everything, I thought it was an official crossover event.
Oh my God, really?
I thought this was like them working with Innersloth. No, they just ripped it. Like when I found out hours later, because again, I just assumed like there's no way you get away with
billion-dollar moves, man. Billion-dollar problems.
This just to remind you, Epic is currently in a lawsuit with Apple. Epic is suing Apple because they are claiming they're sticking up for the little guy, as Apple is stealing money from the little guy with their predatory. You know, Apple Store tech, like you literally just stole the smallest person's goddamn lunch.
Yeah, seriously.
And put it on the world's biggest platform.
And you have the balls to call anybody else for doing the same shit.
It's absolutely insane.
Dude, people love to point fingers when they're guilty, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah. As long as I'm accusing everyone else of the shitty things that I am currently doing, no one can say I'm doing it.
I mean, dude, that's literally like 78% of the game of Among Us. Just call Maybe. Somebody else. Yo, Red's looking kind of sus. Yo, Apple's looking kind of sus.
I wish, like, obviously you can't own a, like, game type. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You can't even, like, how do you even patent that, right? Like, what is someone's going to all of a sudden own Deathmatch and no one can put Slayer and Deathmatch into a game?
Didn't somebody tried buying a word? Somebody tried owning a word. I can't remember what it was.
God.
It was like Taylor Swift or Kim Kardashian. It was some celebrity like that. They tried to own a word. I can't remember what it was. Oh God. But
who the fuck owns a word? You know what I mean? Like,
but dude, that's the thing. They were trying, like, somebody was bored. They were trying to do something that seems impossible.
A bunch of assholes.
Hey, man, we're not rich. We won't know.
Yeah. Honestly. Let's see. Next news story. You won't be able to play Halo Infinite co-op or edit multiplayer maps at launch. This is by Jay Peters on TheVerge.com. Halo Infinite is set to release this holiday season, but at launch you won't be able to play the campaign mode cooperatively with your friends or edit multiplayer levels in Forge mode. Developer 343 Industries announced Friday. When we looked at these two experiences, campaign, co-op, and Forge, we made the determination that they're not ready. Joseph Staten, head of creative on Halo Infinite, said in a video. So we're going to keep campaign, co-op, and Forge in the oven for a little bit longer. When they're ready, we're going to release them as part of our seasonal roadmap next year. 343 Industries targeting shipping campaign co-op in Season 2 and Forge in Season 3, Staten said. The goal is to ship a new season every 3 months, which means campaign co-op will likely be available about 3 months after launch, while Forge arrives 6 months after launch. Halo's campaign co-op and Forge mode are two of the series' hallmarks, so fans may be disappointed to hear that they won't be available at launch, but 343 is still committed to launching the campaign in Season 1 of multiplayer this holiday season. Talking about our actual release date very soon, says Staten. We have Gamescom this week. There's no way we make it through Gamescom without them giving this release date if it's coming out this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already going to be goddamn September, and there's, what, 3 months of the year left at that point?
Yeah.
Xbox is hosting an event in just a few days on August 24th, so perhaps Microsoft and 343 Industries will reveal the date. They have to. So tomorrow. Tomorrow we will most likely know the Halo release date. I'm betting right here. I would have bet that the Switch Pro came out this year, so don't put your money where my mouth is. I am assuming they either want 1 week or 2 week away from Call of Duty. I am thinking, so either the 12th or the 19th, I'm going the 19th. November 19th, 2021. If it's wrong, I am going to edit this out and replace it with the correct date, and no one will ever know.
to any sucker who listened to you this week.
There's someone who listens to this the second it goes live.
Really?
Every single time. Because lately I've been posting them Monday night Eastern time. And the second I put it live, as soon as it goes live, I get the first like one listen. And it's like, who's waiting? I guess it's time zone maybe.
Could be. But hey, don't knock
our most loyal fan. I said it last week. I'll say it again. Shout out to that one dude or girl or non-binary person. The delays to the campaign, co-op, and Forge are the latest for Halo Infinite, which had a bit of a rocky history. The game was originally set to release alongside the Xbox Series X and S in 2020, but it was delayed to 2021 following a campaign showing that birthed the infamous Craig meme. Stanton, who was involved with the first three Halo games, was brought on board shortly after. Despite the game's bumpy development, though, impressions of the game's recent multiplayer technical preview were quite positive, which could indicate that the game will live up to fans' expectations when it's finally released this holiday season. Whenever it does come out, though, you'll have to wait a little while longer to play the campaign with friends or modify things in Forge mode. So, honestly, I think they're also banking on the fact that multiplayer is free to play.
Yeah.
So most people are just going to hop right to the multiplayer.
I mean, that's pretty much all I would expect from those kind of games at first.
Well, Halo is known for their stories.
No, I know, but I mean, like, when it came time to have fun with our friends, it was always about...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I never cared about co-op's campaign, you know what I mean? So it's not like...
I grew up in a house with two brothers, and I still don't give a fuck about co-op campaign.
I'm saying. So, I mean, like, if for some reason you can't give everything, then you might as well start a multiplayer.
I actually was convinced we weren't getting story mode at all this year. I was for sure thinking, like, they were going to launch multiplayer first. And then later on, release the campaign. That way, they could say like it technically released in 2021. So the fact that we are still getting campaign, I'm totally happy with already.
Are you caught up on Halo campaign?
No, I've played up to three, and then I've kind of fallen off. And then I'm just gonna hop right back into Infinite. I don't care. I saw that five was weird. You know, I've seen a ton of videos. Just like throughout the years, not even like recently. They've claimed that like Infinite is kind of like a nice reboot and restart for you if you haven't played the other ones. So you don't necessarily need to have played the other ones to get into it, which that's where I'm at. I like you said, I care more about the multiplayer. I was a jackass. Didn't know the technical preview was for anyone. Didn't bother signing up.
Fucking guy.
I look like Squidward.
We count on you for one thing.
What?
You're the guy that's got to get in there and get all the stores, man.
All right, but I still have a job that has to pay the bills, okay?
You work from home now, you sack of shit.
That's still work.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's call it work. You're always sending me snaps. You're like, oh, man, these hard work vibes.
Oh, it's good that I get to wear, you know, my boxers, but I'm still working the whole time. Just because I don't sit in a sweat box and be like, I hate my life with the goddamn government. I don't know who you blame. If it's Biden, I don't know who you hate. You're just mad at everyone in the world.
Every goddamn police officer who needs a badge. How are there so many cops that need so many badges? I just don't get it.
Halo Infinite will have both campaign and multiplayer season one at launch. Only multiplayer is free to play. You will either have to buy the game. So really, if you think about buying the game, right? You're only buying the game for a campaign. So is that worth $60 to $70? I don't know. To me, that it's like that clear no-brainer. Like, this is a Game Pass game at that point.
Yeah.
Because it's only the story mode.
But what if it's the greatest story you've ever played in your life?
Again, I have Game Pass, so I'm already going to get it. The weird thing is, so campaign co-op planned for season two, which means basically 3 months after the launch. I wonder if they give us campaign DLC. So it's not only like, hey, here's a couple more things you can do in campaign, and now you can play with a friend.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe it is just like, all right, now someone can randomly just drop in and play with you. I don't know. Have fun. It's kind of like a weird, like, I've never heard of campaign being added or co-op being added later.
That's usually supposed to be the like kind of like the default, and then you add other features.
Right. So that is a little funky to me. The one that I honestly don't care too much about is the Forge. I was never a builder myself.
Oh, but yeah. We were just enjoyers of other people's work.
Yeah. So at that point, give me the 6 months or the 3 months or whatever to learn the maps, figure out the mechanics, and by then people are just gonna break them and make their own game modes. And
as long as there's Duck Hunt, that's really all we care about.
And honestly, like some of those things are actually just integrated in the game now. Like most of those, like Infection was a fan mode called Zombie. So I assume they might still include those and you just can't make your own at the moment. I think by the end of the year, just because of the shit year we've had of video games.
Yeah. It's been a weird year.
Weird year of like nothings. I swear to God, it's just like a vast... It looks like Dune. Like every time I see the Dune trailer and I just see a desert and everyone's like, I can't wait for this movie. And it's like, really? It was not a single color in that trailer. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but I mean, like they're keeping it real to the old aesthetic of the old movie.
Who watched that? Did you?
I've never seen the original Dune. I've seen clips of it. I've never watched it start to finish. No.
I've never even heard of this fucking thing.
I hear it's not a good movie, but it's a classic. That's a cult classic, but it's not good.
What does that mean? Is it like, what is it, Clerks?
Yeah, it's essentially the Clerks.
Is it? Because Clerks is trash, you know? I heard so many people talk of this goddamn Clerks movie just for me to watch this black and white film. That was horrible.
But like I hear Clerks 2 is funnier because I think like Rosario Dawson's in that
Clerks
movie.
Clerks 2 is somehow worse than Clerks 1.
But like they're supposed to be so bad, they're good movies.
No, they're just bad, bad.
And dude, guess what? Clerks 3 is on the way.
That's what I can't. I'm next news story. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that we were just taking this shit and open our mouths wide and shoveling it in. Jeff Keighley is teasing a Saints Row reboot announcement at Gamescom. This is by Chris Scullion on VideoGameChronicle.com. Jeff Keighley posted a tweet showing a brick wall with graffiti on it. The graffiti says the word rebooting alongside the Saints Row series icon. The official Saints Row Twitter account, which has the same symbol as its avatar, responded with the eyes emoji. Keighley's tweet said, "We are bossing it with our announcements this year. This could be construed as a further reference to Saints Row's because the player is referred to as the boss in most of the games in the series." Saints Row Twitter account then replaced its Twitter cover picture with the same rebooting image. The official Saints Row website now shows the same image too. Last Saints Row game was Saints Row 4, which was released in August 2013. Jeez. The game had players as the boss becoming elected as president of the United States, trying to save the world from an alien invasion. THQ Nordic confirmed back in 2019 that a new Saints Row game was in development at Volsheon Studios. The news was announced as the company provided updates on several of its key properties as part of its Q1 2019 financial reports. Volsheon is deep in development of a brand new Saints Row game, their first full entry in this much-loved series since Saints Row 4 was released in 2013. It said at the time, Gamescom kicks off on Wednesday, August 25th with an opening night live showcase including over 30 games. I have always wanted to get into the Saints Row series. Have you ever played them?
I've played some of Saints Row 2 and a little bit of Saints Row 3, and because a friend of ours had it back in the day, but it was fun, but he always told me it was like, you know what, he always like when he was telling me about the game, like before we hung out and played it, was that it was like, it was always considered like the other Grand Theft Auto.
It really is. It's just Grand Theft Auto, except they do crazier, dumber shit.
But that's completely true. But like, I don't know. Like, there's like no blood or anything like that. Like, there's no weird killing mechanics or anything like that. Like you use a
dildo bat to kill people.
Yeah, but they don't die the way they do in Grand Theft Auto, which is weird. You know, like it's just, I don't know.
I haven't really
played
it.
Whatever carnage you like about Grand Theft Auto is not in Saints Row.
So I remember 1 and 2 were like fairly grounded, and I think by the third they were kind of just like, yo, like Grand Theft Auto is way better than us, so we're just gonna completely.
If I remember correctly, at the time, Saints Row 3 had like the craziest character builder at the time, where like you could make your characters weird as fuck. Like before Cyberpunk, you know, wanted to do whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah,
Saints Row 3 was the craziest one I remember.
And I remember there's like, I mean, there are so many different expansions too that get even weirder. Like, I know one of them brings you to hell.
Yeah, that was I remember like hearing about it. Yeah.
All right, so Saints Row 3 has entered the Dama Matrix, which is story DLC. Enter the Dominatrix standalone expansion as an April Fool's joke in 2012. It was confirmed as in development the next month. Enter the Dominatrix. The alien commander Zynik imprisons the Saints leader in a simulation of Steelport called the Dominatrix so as to prevent interface when he takes over the planet. The expansion also added superpowers for the player character. It is literally just Grand Theft Auto, but with crazy, ridiculous stuff being added. Like Saints Row 4, you are the president and you're fighting against aliens.
Yeah. Like, what even is that?
But people love it, though, you know? Like, people actually love this. I'm trying to find the other one. The other one that I know is like Saints Row Gat Out of Hell. That's what it is. Is a 2015 action adventure developed by Volition. The game is a standalone expansion to 2013 Saints Row 4 and does not require the base game to be played. It serves as an epilogue to Saints Row 4 and follows Third Street Saints members Johnny Gat and Kinsey Kensington as they try to rescue the boss from hell. After they are kidnapped by Satan, Gat Out of the Hell was met with mixed reviews from critics, gaining praise for its unique premise and setting and an entertaining gameplay while being criticized for its short length, dated graphics, and repetitive side content and bugs. It's got like a 66 on Metacritic, which, you know what, for a standalone isn't bad.
No.
Jeff Keighley is grabbing some kind of like low-key, sneaky, big reveals for his Gamescom now. His last showing is where we finally saw Elden Ring. And up until he finally showed Elden Ring, to me, that game was just a meme where under every gaming post, it would just say, where's Elden Ring?
Didn't you tweet about that when it happened?
Who?
You? I'm saying when he had finally revealed something. Didn't you say something? I feel like I remember you saying something about it.
I didn't think the game actually existed until he finally fucking showed it. It's the Dark Souls game that was written by what's the hell's the guy's name who wrote Jon Snow and all them. God, why can't I think of that show? Now both of us are doing it.
Martin. George R. R. Martin or whatever?
Yes. Yeah. What did he write?
Yeah, he wrote...
Thank you. You're... God damn it, not worth shit. It's the Game of Thrones series.
There it is.
So supposedly he helped write the lore and everything for this game. And yeah, people are super excited for it. Again, I didn't think it existed. I thought it was just a meme until we finally saw it. It's by Bandai Namco. I don't know when... We'll probably see some actual game footage, I bet. I bet he has a decent showing for this Gamescom.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know how big people consider the announcement of a reboot of Saints Row, but at least to me, that's a known franchise that gets some recognition.
And hey, you know, we can always welcome anything in 2021 for games.
I don't think we're going to get it this year. We might.
You know what I'm saying? Like hearing news about games this year at all is nothing sort of nice.
Yeah. No, you know what? E3 was like nice pace this year, finally seeing something. All right. And then we have our last news story of the week. It's 2021, and Bethesda has announced another Skyrim port. This is by Zach Zuian on Kotaku.com.
I hate Skyrim.
Bethesda announced today that its nearly decade-old open-world RPG hit. Skyrim is an once again being ported to consoles both old and new. This time the publisher is sprucing it up with a fan-created content. It's called Skyrim Anniversary Edition, and it's coming out November 11th, 2021 for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, PC. Switch players, meanwhile, can go kick sand. Wow, that was right in the article. I was actually sitting here like, it's probably not coming to Switch. They told me to go kick
fucking
sand.
Fucking asshole.
Yes, we've been buying, playing, and rebuying and replaying Skyrim ports for a decade, so at least Anniversary Edition will be offered to current
owners. You know, we can't be mad at them doing that if we just keep buying GTA 5. So, I mean, what's the difference?
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like Grand Theft Auto 5, we rebuy.
Dude, I promise you. Mortal. I promise you.
Fucking Mario Kart 8. How many goddamn people are still buying that.
Dude, we're gonna like they could skip GTA 5 on PS5, right? Go right to 6.
They're not. They already announced the PS5 version.
I know, but I'm saying hypothetically, right?
Yeah.
Then they go to the PS6.
Yep.
And then that's when they're going to be like, "Oh, we're going to bring GTA 5 back just for fun." It's like, "No." That's exactly what they're going to do, like just the way they did with Skyrim. It's like, "Come on."
Do you know technically, right? The PS4 and Xbox One did not get its own Grand Theft Auto because Grand Theft Auto 5 originally released on the PS3 and Xbox 360.
No, I remember. I actually got to play all the versions.
It's just like, if it's still making money, why even bother, right? Let's see. So at least Anniversary Edition will be offered to current owners of Skyrim Special Edition for free. Bethesda says this new port includes over 500 pieces of mostly user-made content from the Creation Club, including quests, dungeons, bosses, weapons, spells, and more. In Fallout 4 and earlier versions of Skyrim Special Edition, Creation Club content was a mix of small DLC made by Bethesda, other developers, and community members. Normally, you have to buy most Creation Club content, so getting a pile of it with this new port should be nice. The Anniversary Edition of the game won't be offered to current Special Edition owners for free. Instead, a different next-gen enhanced version of the game will be given to current and future Special Edition owners for free. Meanwhile, folks will be able to pay to upgrade their Special Editions to Anniversary Edition for a price that hasn't been revealed yet. Is this confusing and weird? Yes. As you might expect, this new version of Skyrim will include all previously released DLC too, like Dawn Guard. It's a lot of bang for your buck. Real quick, let's take a look at all the ways you can buy and play Skyrim at this time. So right now, you can buy and play it on an Xbox 360, PS3, a PC, PS4, PSVR, Xbox One, and Switch. And soon you'll be able to buy it on an Xbox Series X/S and PS5. So at this point, I'll just accept that never escape Skyrim or Grand Theft Auto 5.
Dude, every single day I wake up, I always thank the heavens that I can play GTA 5 and Skyrim on every console known to man. There's just something about that comfort that gets me through my life.
This Skyrim, except
I fucking hate Skyrim.
This Skyrim comes out this year, November 11th. You know what also comes out November 11th? The goddamn Grand Theft Auto 5 version of Xbox Series X and PS5.
It's like a match made in heaven, man.
Really, honestly, is. Like at this point, it's,
you know, are we ever going to get Elder Scrolls 7? Is that even going to be a thing?
Or 6. The next one would be 6, right? Is Skyrim 5?
I thought they made a 6. Skyrim was 5.
That's what I'm saying. So we never got one after Skyrim.
Wasn't there one called, wasn't there Oblivion or something? Wasn't that 6?
No, Oblivion is 4.
Oh, Oblivion's 4?
Yeah.
Oh.
Skyrim is the newest, technically the newest one.
I thought there was one that came out. Oh, no, I'm thinking of the multiplayer or whatever that dropped and failed.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, if I look up Elder Scrolls 6, it just says video game with no release date. we got a Elder Scrolls 6 official announcement teaser in 2018. So,
oh, my God. I was going to say, I remember seeing something about it.
I don't know if I think they do this to hold you over until goddamn.
Isn't, you know, that even makes it better that they're doing all that shit on the same fucking day, because it's GTA 5 and it's Elder Scrolls 5. We're never going to see 6. They don't know how to fucking count to 6. Neither one of those franchises.
You only need one hand. That's it. 5 fingers, one hand.
Make a fist, baby, and grab all that cash.
Well, it's like, I'm pretty sure they said Grand Theft Auto 5 won't be here until 2026. 2025 or 2026, which is wild. Absolutely wild. But I understand, too, at the same time, right? They probably went from like...
Dude, we're going to be 30 when that shit drops.
Yeah, it's bad. You didn't have to bring that up.
You're going to be 30 when that shit drops.
That hurts.
Can we just kill ourselves now?
You don't care about Elder Scrolls?
Live fast, leave a sexy corpse. That's one of my mottos.
You don't like Elder Scrolls?
I never could get into it. I've tried multiple times, and I'm not good at those first person kind of games like that.
Play a third person.
I'm not good at sandbox either. I don't like having so much availability.
I want to propose a challenge to you. All right.
Okay.
You know, at the end of the year, how we both get like that Christmas week off.
Yeah.
I want me and you to play Skyrim for that week. like actually give it a shot, not like play it 20 minutes.
Wait. You've cut out like 3, 4, 5 times right now. What did you say? You want me to play what?
Me and you. So both of us, right?
Okay.
Me and you, that week that we have off.
Yep.
We give Skyrim a real shot. Okay. Like an absolute, not like, oh, I played it 20 minutes. I hate it. I'm done. No.
Yeah.
Like we play it for that week. We give it a real shot. And we see what we think. Because the last time I played Skyrim, it took me forever to get out of the goddamn starting village, right? And it was like, all right, go to this village and at least pings it on your map so I knew where to go.
Yeah.
But I had to go through the woods. And I'm going through the goddamn woods and I have no health because I've already fought like, you know, a giant spider, little bitch who was casting magic at me. You would think I was in Hogwarts. And all of a sudden I just hear a roar and it's a bear. And I was like, oh my God, I have no health to fight this goddamn bear. So I just sprint. And I finally make it into the village. And I think, like, this bear is going to leave me alone. I'm in the village. People are going to help me. Everyone in the village turns and runs into their little huts. And this bear mauls me, dude.
Oh, my God.
It took me an hour to get out of the woods. It brought me back to the village that I was previously in. I hate that game.
So, the last time I played it, I got out of the first village. I got to the second village, right?
So you killed that first dragon, right?
Yeah, I think so. I just remember getting to the village. I was still trying to figure out some of the controls, and I accidentally killed like the first guard outside the town.
Oh, they
so hate then everyone
you.
In the town killed me first go, and I had to start over, and then I reloaded the save. I got a party member, and again, I don't know how I fucking did it, but somehow I ended up killing her by mistake.
You're a murderer.
And then I swung at her, and then she was like, now I'm forced to kill you. I was like, no, that's not what I meant. It was an accident, my guy. But no, she decided to take it out on me, and I had to put her down. That wasn't good. Then I did it. I accepted a quest to go kill some fucking goblin in a cave, and I went to this cave, and dude, like, he was so overpowered. And he wrecked, like, I think I got one swing in, I missed, and he killed me in one hit. So I was like, oh, okay, let me try to change up the strategy, because I was dual wielding a weapon. I grabbed a shield, tried to block with the shield, broke my shield, killed me. I was like, well, I'm like, that's the end of this game, because I don't know what the fuck to do.
You know
I don't
know what I'm doing wrong. That's the thing. The problem with these games is too much to do, to the fact that I have no idea what I'm actually supposed to ever be doing. Like, the bear was way too overpowered to the point I don't think I was supposed to be that far in the goddamn woods.
I love story forced linearity. I do not enjoy having options to myself. Because you know what? Breath of the Wild is the closest thing to a sand-ish box that I will give myself credit for. But at least there is a story enough to guide you to these four, like you can, that way you can do whatever you want, but you still know what your objective is. I do not know what my objective is in Skyrim. I never knew what it was.
So you are some thing called like a dragonborn or something. This is, again, I got the last time I played Skyrim was 2017. So this is from off the top of the dome, my best.
Ah, you're awake. That's all I know in Skyrim anymore.
You are part of some either the dragon lineage or your whatever your lineage is has something to do with the dragons, and you are
You were on your way to be executed. I remember that.
Yes. And your job now is to slay the dragons, because every time you slay a dragon, you absorb their essence and it gives you a new ability. So that first one you killed, you got the scream ability.
Yeah.
And that's all I remember. I remember I scanned my amiibo and I got the Master Sword and Hylian Shield in the game. And I was using those for a little bit and they were doing fine. And then they like all of a sudden are not better than an iron sword somehow. And at probably 2 hours in, I was like, I'm so lost. I am so lost. I have no idea where I'm supposed to go. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Someone told me you can get bit by a werewolf and be a werewolf in the game if you want. You can turn into a vampire. There's so much you can do.
Or is that like a mod or something? Or
no, it's just in the game.
All right. We'll give it a real chance. We'll try and find these things. But you know what, Ken? I swear to God, the second that goblin kills me again, I'm fucking done again, all right?
Don't do that quest. Leave the quest.
If 2014 Tyler couldn't beat him, there's no way 2021 Tyler's going to beat him.
I honestly think our biggest problem...
You my name. Fuck.
I've stopped editing names out. It's gotten to the point I just don't care anymore.
Yeah, I feel that.
As long as no one, you know, has my social security, they will never get me. Your brother just texted me, oh my god, who saw the Spider-Man? Tell you guys everything yesterday?
You literally sent it like three times yesterday. You were like, guys, did you check it out?
Just an idiot. All right, TA, that does it for this week's episode.
He's burnt as hell. He's always burnt, you know.
Yeah,
that.
He's an idiot. That does it for this week's episode. You can find me on Twitter at @AHN_gags. You can find single TA at
AHN podcast TA.
There you go. No underscore, right?
No, sir.
All right, TA, thanks for coming on again.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.